Blog Talk Radio.
Well, that's the opening theme, the big show, as we open up this show on a Monday. It is the Gross Misconduct Podcast, hosted by a brother, a mentor, and a friend to me, Kip Gross. Yours truly, Mark Mancini, co-hosting, playing a little producing with it, 347-205-9631. If you happen to miss it, I realize 30 minutes goes by quick. Catch the archive version on blogtalkradio.com/Mancini Sports. Podcast platforms, wherever you subscribe to podcasts, powered now by Mancini Media. So as I lay down the red carpet, put the podium in its place, hand off the mic, the threes, Kip, how are you? How can people get a hold of you? And boy, we're going to cram a lot in 30 minutes just before July 4th, believe me.
Well, I'm doing pretty darn good. Unfortunately, I shouldn't say unfortunately, I'm in Arizona right now. It's 111 degrees. And it's pretty steamy out right now. You know, whenever it gets over 100 degrees, it's hot no matter what, if it's dry heat or whatever you want to call it. But, and then kipgross.com is you can get a hold of me there, and I'll answer to everything and anything you can. And, yeah, let's have one hell of a cast today. Let's have some good fun.
Oh, I'll tell you, nobody can touch this show. I'm not being arrogant about it, but I'm just telling you, man, this show, you and I have worked the chemistry. It just flows. We lay it out there, and we speak from the heart. You know, it's acquired taste. You know, at first, you know, it might be like your first beer. You swig it around like mouthwash. You spit it out. But you get accustomed to us real quick, and they have gotten accustomed to us as each and every week passes. I want to talk about last night in New York, the Giants and Mets Sunday night baseball. I don't know if the dude had too many drinks or he just fell off the railing, but he was putting his hands up because I think the security guards out there were going to Lawrence Taylor him. The question to you is, you played Major League Baseball for so many years, my friend. You had to have a story. You had to see something where maybe somebody had too many beers or maybe the railing was so low that they probably should have invested in more money and put the rail a little higher.
Yeah, you know, it's kind of an odd thing that it happened because, you know, now around at least the infield, you know, you got all the nets going on, so you can't get hit by a baseball or you can't fall through the net the other way either. But, you know, all the years that I played, I used to run stadium stairs quite a bit just, you know, on my own out there. And I'd go to some of these areas, you know, because I'd try to run up and come back down the other side, come up, go down the other side. And it just, some of these stadiums are so steep also. They're not just the railings short. I mean, sometimes you feel like it's like a 3 or 4 foot railing. And, yeah, you mix in some alcohol and, you know, a foul ball comes your way or you think it's coming your way. And so you reach out. I'm actually surprised what happened last night has not happened more often in baseball because, you know, you get some of these places. I mean, I've been to games where, you know, you see some fans and they're not walking too well. You know, that left leg's not working very well. And, you know, they're kind of going one direction, which is left. And they sit in the wrong seats all the time. And so, you know, I don't have a problem with people drinking at games because hopefully they got a designated driver. But, you know, that railing, it's surprising. And it doesn't take very far to fall before you severely hurt yourself or kill yourself. So I'm hopefully that man's all right last night. But yeah, they had to stop the game, and it was pretty much an emergency. So I'm very surprised it hasn't happened more, Mark.
Yeah, Humpty Dumpty fell off the wall and they put him back together. He had a Band-Aid on his nose, and you're right, I hope he is okay. But, you know, what I'm really surprised at, other than these stadiums, is the bullpens. If you look at Dodger Stadium and you've warmed up there and pitched there, you know, those fans are right on top of you there. And I would imagine in Philadelphia and some of the places that you played, I'm surprised these people haven't just fallen over in the bullpen with you guys warming up. Any thoughts to that?
Yeah, it is. You know, place like Dodger Stadium, you know, they got really good security but you're right as far as some of these bullpens are concerned because they're right on top of you. And, you know, as a visitor in a lot of these places, you get abused quite a bit by the fans. I mean, they're throwing obscenities at you the whole game or talking about your mom or or doing whatever. I mean, you could actually have them thrown out if you really want to. But, you know, for me, I was never that guy. I mean, saying if this guy's paying for a ticket, I didn't have a problem with him saying whatever he said. Sometimes it's more funny because they didn't really know what they were saying because they were so drunk or whatever they were on. But every once in a while, if you throw one ball up to somebody, now everybody wants a ball. And so that's another thing you don't really want to do. So the one thing about Dodger Stadium is you had a little hut that you could go into. And so you didn't have to worry about, you know, the fans heckling because they can't see you. They're not going to say anything to you. But most bullpens aren't like that. You know, you're exposed to the fans. And so people don't really understand that most of those guys in the bullpen, they take a lot of abuse during the year, you know, on the road. And, you know, you go in a place like Philadelphia or you know, a place like that, and they're ruthless. They're just on you, and they, you know, they research you and they research your families, and they bring out some stuff for you. So I'm surprised there isn't more incidents though of what you're talking about.
Well, and not only that, I can imagine getting off the buses and checking in the hotels. Then you got all these groupies, you got all these fans that are asking for your autograph, and you kind of look at the guy three times, like, I just signed everything three times. How many more things do you want me to sign? And then they're hanging around, and then you try to eat something, and they're trying to follow. That's got to be – you almost feel like a rock star in more ways than one.
You know, it can get really bad in some of these places. That's why, you know, your bigger stars today, they don't even go under their real names, you know, like Cal Ripken Jr. back in the day and Barry Bonds. They went by fictitious names, or some of them even stayed in other hotels just because they could not get off the bus. I mean, it got to be a really bad thing, you know, for them. And, you know, they do have security around you some, but they can't, just like you said, there's guys out there with autographs and they got little kids out there, you know, then the guy is around the corner waiting for the kid to get the autograph. Then he runs over and he gives him a couple bucks for getting the autograph for him. And that happens all the time. And so that's why you got a lot of players that just don't want to sign. And then just like you said, the groupies, they're everywhere. You can't not, I mean, you got to avoid them, but they're outside the hotel. They don't let them in the hotel. And then all it takes is one guy saying, hey, come on with me. Cause they're going to let them in as long as the player wants to come in. But it gets to the point where, you know, if you get to be such a big name, it's ridiculous. I'll get a little story real quick. I played in Caracas one year in Venezuela. And I just had one of those seasons down there where everything I did was right. I couldn't do any wrong. Every time I threw a pitch up, they'd make an out. It didn't matter if it was a bad pitch or not. I turned out to be, it was almost like I was Elvis there for the winter. And it got to the point where I couldn't even walk out of the stadium and they'd rip off my jacket or my clothes or whatever. So I had to start staying in the clubhouse until everybody was gone. It got to be, it was crazy. So I can't even imagine what like a Barry Bonds of the day or Cal Ripken Jr. or some of these guys today, how big of names they are. Like, you know, the Aaron Judge, how does that man being 6'8" walk out of a bus and into a hotel and around New York City? How does he do it? You know, it's got to be a crazy, crazy thing. So I don't envy these guys one bit. I really don't. And you know, your private life is not a private life anymore. You gave it up. So,
well, and not only that, the please and the thank yous are gone. Well, it's give me a ball, give me a ball, give me a ball. No, they don't even care whose name is, you know, your name is. It's just you see it all the time at stadiums. It's give me, give me, give me. And the same kid will come back, and after he gets one ball, he'll come back, probably disguise himself a little with a shades or a different ball cap, and give me, give me, give me. I don't understand the me, myself, and I attitude with these kids, and it starts at home with the parents. And it you can hear the players say, hey, if you just said please, I would have gave you a ball, but you didn't even say that, you know. And the other thing is, too, it's getting the ball and just selling it. Why would you do that? It's like, I don't understand that. It's cherish it. The same idiots that take the balls and throw the home run balls back in Wrigley Field, I'm saying, he caught a ball, man. Keep it. Why are you throwing it back under peer pressure? So on those topics, the please, the thank yous, the selling for memorabilia and throwing a ball back is absolutely crazy in more ways than one.
Yeah, it is. You know, when I was playing, I got to tell you, one of my favorite things to do was to sign for kids. I mean, it just brought a lot of happiness and joy to me, you know, seeing these kids waiting for you. And I don't know if they were giving them to some other guy or whatever, But just to see that kid with his puppy eyes while you're signing your name on his ball or his card or whatever it was just, to me, that was what it was all about at that time. And so now what you're saying as far as the pleas are just gimme, 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 you know, I saw a lot of that gimme, gimme, gimme too. It was, you know, like I said, if somebody in the bullpen or somewhere gave one ball away or this guy would sign, now everybody expects everybody to sign. Well, you know, there's a ball game going to be happening soon, guys. And so you don't really necessarily know what's going through that player's mind at the time to be able to sign that ball or sign that card or sign whatever you want signed. And he might be in a one-way tunnel right now, tunnel vision, getting ready for that game. And the last thing he wants to do is go over here and take that tunnel vision out of his mind to play that game. And so the next thing you know, you hear about, well, this guy's a jerk, this guy's a dickhead, whatever. And he's not. It's just that he's trying to go out there and entertain and win a baseball game with his team. And so you see, so don't always think what you see is what you really see, because what you don't know is what you don't know. So give those guys a break sometimes on the field for not signing.
Well, and not only that, in covering the Padres for 3 years down in San Diego in the, you know, middle of the 90s when they had Caminiti and Finley and all those guys, and God rest Caminiti's soul, and Craig Vaughn, and, you know, just the media perception in, you know, I know I'm part of the media, but at the same time, I draw the line, too. The media perception is they want an interview, but it's always the negative way of getting the question out there. You know, why'd you strike out 3 times? Why'd you give up 7 runs? It can't be a question like, hey, how you doing today? How's the family? You know, I know you're trying to sell papers, but at the same time, use a little tact. A lot of people would say the first time I tried to get Barry Bonds, you'll never get him, and God bless it, I definitely got him, and the Deion Sanders, and I think some of these guys are misunderstood to a certain extent because the perception of these guys is so totally different that people write, if they can't get an interview on them or something, all of a sudden they're negative and all that. How true is that in the game today,
Kip? Well, just let's talk about Barry Bonds. You want to know the answer to that one? You know, that's what I'm saying. You got to kind of respect people's space sometimes. The guy has a terrible game. Don't just rush up to his locker after the game and say, you know, how do you feel doing this? How do you feel not doing that during the game? You know, give that little bit of a half hour time for the guy to go in and get his nerves down and his anger out of his body and his mind, because that's, you know, when you don't perform well, you don't feel good about it, you know, and it's just on the other side of it, you know, when you perform really well, don't sit there and gloat about it either. You know, just kind of stay even keel. But the whole thing with the press and all that is you're right. The negatives sometimes outweigh the positive, especially in baseball, because it's such a game of failure. And so when you see a guy went 0-for-4 with 3 strikeouts, he had a terrible game. What do you think he did? He's not going to be the happiest guy. Come up and interview him after the game, so kind of give him a little space there, and let's maybe talk about that one time when he didn't strike out, and you know what did you really see, and what happened during the game. So, you know, let's find out some things instead of just assuming why he did what he did and he was terrible that day. And that's what you see. I see a lot on these broadcasts these days too, when the announcers talking about how bad the player is in the game or whatever, and it just goes to show you that these announcers and the play-by-play guys don't know the game, and that's why you got to let the color guy call the color part of the game, and you just call the game.
Well, not only that, I think what happens is they trip over their own feet because they get caught up in, wow, this is amazing. I've never seen this before, and yet, you know, you look at the other team, and then when that team is in a spiral going downhill, nobody talks about it, but as soon as – you know, it's kind of like, you know, the prognosticators we talk about. They always make predictions for teams, yet they probably have never played the game, but they're always quick to point out this team's going to win 60-something games. I never hear them when that team passes out their prediction. That media guy or somewhere that predicted they would win a certain amount of games and it's passed, where are they to be found? All of a sudden they're hiding under a cubicle or something in more ways than one.
Tampa Bay Rays this year, right? I mean, nobody predicted what they came out of the gate, and they won 12 in a row to start the season. And then you had all these people out there saying, well, they played the A's. Oh, they played this team. They played a cellar dweller. It's the big leagues, guys. It doesn't matter really who you're playing. I mean, you're going to have your bad teams, you know, they're going to play good against good teams too. I mean, didn't the A's sweep Houston this year or you know, came from whatever it was? I mean, they
came close to sweeping Atlanta.
Right, right. And here Atlanta is probably the best team in major leagues right now. And so that's why baseball is so much different than all the other sports on the planet, is because you play 162 games over 182-day schedule, and you're going to have injuries. You're going to have, you know, wives yelling at husbands, and you're going to have husbands that want to get out of the house because the kids are yelling. And it just – there's so many things that people don't understand about the game of baseball, because it's every day. It's not once a week where you got to perform. In basketball, every 3 days. And, you know, hockey, same way, every 2 or 3 days, same way. You're playing every day on a 25, 26-man roster where everybody's got to be utilized and everybody's got to be kept happy throughout that season. And so, yeah, you got the Tampa Bay Rays out there. They weren't supposed to do anything. They win 12 out of the gate. They're still rocking and rolling. They look really good. And it's exactly what you're saying. You know, there's highs, there's lows. Let's keep even keel and just try to win as many games we can and see where it ends at the end. And, you know, that's where it all comes from. So, I'm personally, I like seeing the long shots winning. I've always loved it.
Oh, yeah.
The underdog out and winning. And like I always said, baseball is about matchups just like football is. You know, you're just like the A's for so many years, they had the Angels numbers, the number. And
yeah.
for whatever reason, Angels couldn't beat the A's. Well, they just had their number. It's good matchups, and they can't see it or whatever, and so that's how it works. So, yeah, what you're saying is 100% true.
And not only that, the long shots are playing at house money. So, you know, nobody's figuring them to do anything. So when they hit pay dirt, I mean, yeah, the pressure's on the big city clubs, and that's where you start to see it. I wanted to get in. You bring up, you know, the teammates and all that. When you go on the road, and boy, we take this show to different avenues because people don't talk about this like what we're talking about. You do not hear this on sports shows across the country. And I'm just so blessed to do this with you each and every week. You go on the road. You're going into somebody's hometown. You have no friends, or somebody doesn't have a lot of friends in that town. You probably give your other teammate most of the tickets, the complimentary tickets. I don't know how many you're allotted, but I'm sure, you know, if you go into Atlanta, for instance, and one of your teammates is from Atlanta and he's got a lot of friends, he's probably getting a majority of those giveaway tickets, I would imagine.
Well, yeah, you there's sometimes when you're playing, you know, you've got to, you know, people, you know, got family coming in town, or you got a rookie for his first outing up there, you know, they're going to have all these fans coming. And when I was playing, you got six tickets. I think it was four family or two family, and then you got four that were non-family that were set somewhere else. So two of them sat up, you know, up in the loge area in really nice seats, and your friends would sit down. But today, I'm not even sure what you get anymore, but I know it's completely changed today because now everything goes through a computer that goes straight to the IRS, believe it or not. And so players today have to pay taxes on their tickets they get. And so, yeah, you got to go to a computer, enter in how many tickets you want, and then they get the player gets charged a tax on whatever tickets they take. And it's completely changed. But what you're saying is there's times where a guy might need 20, 30 tickets, and so he's got to go around the clubhouse or ask days or weeks in advance, hey, can I borrow some tickets from you? And so it's never been a problem to get them. You know, everybody's going to say, yeah, we'll give you those tickets because you want them to have their family in town and have as much fun and have them around you. But, you got to find your ways to get those tickets sometimes. And I've personally just this year, I've got a hold of some managers and coaches this year just for my son or friends this year just to get tickets. So, and it always turns out, you know, you take a text or something. But for the most part, it does get old, though, I can tell you that.
Exactly. And, you know, the problem with that is when you know, like, somebody's coming to town and he's got a lot of friends in the town, you kind of say to yourself, hey, listen, I'll go get my own ticket. I don't want to, you know, have him give me a ticket and stuff like that. And, you know, you respect that thing because it just, you know. Plus the fact, like, you're from Nebraska, so if there's no Major League Baseball there, but the closest thing would probably, I'm thinking on the top of my head, geographical, Chicago, maybe Denver, maybe people traveling down to see you, and then you probably ask for tickets. But some of these guys, if they're playing, if they're from L.A. or, you know, San Francisco, San Diego, New York, I mean, they're asking for a lot of tickets, and then you're going to get the long-lost cousin that you haven't seen in 11 months that's going to come out and find you and say, hey, can I get some tickets too?
Mark, I got to tell you, there were times where I didn't even know who the people were. They were my family. You know, they were in like San Diego or San Francisco or something like that. And, you know, somebody called, you know, one of your family members and say, hey, can you leave Uncle Joey, you know, 6 tickets for his family tonight? And it's like, who is Uncle Joey? Well, you know, he's the third lost, third removed or whatever it is, cousin. And it's like, who are you? But it happens. It happens. And that's why you kind of quickly find out new family members that you never knew you had.
Well, I'm also a firm believer. It changes everything in the relationship. When people come out like that and ask for something and you haven't, you know, seen these guys in a while, it kind of, I don't want to use the word, it leaves a sour taste in the mouth, but it kind of changes and it kind of thinks like, now I'm in the major leagues and all of a sudden, you know, it's kind of like hitting the lottery. Hey, can I have $3,000? It's like, where were you when I was struggling? The people that are there that are jealous of your shine will never be there when you're struggling.
There's no doubt about what you're saying right there. There's you get a lot of people that start they think they're your friend now, and you know, everybody should probably have just one or two really, really great friends, and the rest are basically acquaintances. And because
yep.
It's exactly what you're saying right now, it usually turns out to be a money thing, and unfortunately, it does change a lot of relationships, and it's very, very unfortunate. Don't think I haven't been through it myself, so. And it's come to the point where you almost don't even want to answer a phone or sometimes because you know what the call's about. And so it's not fun. It's not fun. That's what people, general public doesn't really realize what ball players go through throughout their career and through their life, even afterwards, because of what you did. And that's why I will promise you this right now. When I was playing, if I was like at a restaurant or I'd meet somebody or some guy sitting next to me having a drink and they'd say, what'd you do? I swear I used to tell them I was an ADT security guard worker. And it was just, I did it just because I didn't want to sit there and have to repeat my whole life story over and over again because, you know, then they're interested. Oh, you played baseball in the big leagues. Well, let's hear about it. Let's talk about it. And it's like, okay, how about I just have my drink, you have your drink, and let's talk about life and, you know, what's going on in the city. So I used to do that all the time. It was kind of funny, but it worked out.
Yeah, no doubt about it. As we wind this thing down, I want to talk about roommates and all the stops that you played, some of the best roommates. And, you know, when you come to a town, who opens the doors? Who acclimates you to the city? Because it's kind of like, hey, I was in this city for 3 days last year. I don't know too much of this city. You know, I've been up in the big leagues, you know, 2 years now, so I'm not really acquainted with the city. Is the Rand McNally map coming out, or is that pushed to the thing? Now we got the iPhones trying to find out where the best place to live in this city, where the great restaurants are. Who opens some of the doors? And then next week, as we have more time on Tuesday, we'll be talking about the All-Star game. We'll also be talking about selling and buying. When do you really get into that? But some of the roommates that opened up doors in some of the cities you played in, Cincinnati, L.A., Boston, Houston.
You know, all the deals with roommates, you know, if you're really going to talk about roommates, for hotel roommates, I stopped having roommates after I had one guy as my roommate because he just snored so bad. And I at that point in time, I never had another roommate the entire time. And fortunately, the next year, the Player Association got it in the contract where everybody had to have their own room. But I after that, I can't sleep when somebody's snoring. At least I used to not be able to. And it got to be a bad part. You know what? When I was in Cincinnati, Barry Larkin, I just gotta throw a shout out to him because he was so good about the city, and he would do anything and everything for you, just like Norm Charlton. I gotta say, Norm Charlton was probably the best teammate I ever had in my entire career. You know, just the things he would do for you,
yeah.
You know, on Field. But Barry Larkin, he'd say, "Kip, man, you want to go down? I'm going to go to the shoe store. You want to go with me? Let's go get some." Because I wore boots back then. I wore Levi's and boots everywhere I went, you know, cowboy boots. And so, you know, he'd always want to take me out and show me these different places, restaurants, same way. You know, the pitchers, the guys that were leaders on the team, they'd take you out to dinner all the time and have, you know, almost the whole pitching staff would be there and somebody pick up the tab for you. But, yeah, as far as all that goes on today, I don't know what they do with social media going on today, because now it's just a couple texts saying, "Hey, Joe Blow or you know, Aaron Judge is over here at this steakhouse right now having steak and lobster. And the next thing you know, everybody shows up. So I don't know how it works. I don't think they really go out, to be honest with you. I don't think they do.
Yeah, and not only that, you know, everybody collects something. My thing has been always T-shirts, and somewhere around here, you'd appreciate it when we get this thing into streaming video down the line. I got a Nasty Boys T-shirt somewhere around here, and I remember one time I was wearing it, and some guy thought it was the WWE, the Nasty Boys. I go, no, this ain't the Nasty Boys from there. This is the Cincinnati guys. And, you know, sometimes you got to educate these guys. You know, they see their team in first place, or they see some team, you know, it's the end thing. It's kind of like, well, wow, I don't know anybody on the Atlanta Braves, but let me look at the sports section. They're in first place by 9 games. Honey, I need to go get an Atlanta Braves hat. And the minute you start asking them about Tommy Glavine or, you know, all these other guys or, you know, Chipper Jones, they have no idea what you're talking about, but they're a Brave fan. So, I mean, that's the thing. But, yeah, the Nasty Boys, and we talked about that before. But the roommates and showing you a city and getting acclimated, a lot of people don't understand that. They, you know, these guys, these fantasy football guys and everything, are, you know, during the MLB trading deadline, everybody's happy and stuff. They don't understand what the player has to do. All of a sudden, you got to pick up. You got to go somewhere. The family stays home, continues in school or whatever. If it's in the summer, you got to get to the next city. You get probably, I would imagine, I think, if I'm not mistaken, you get 3 days to make the transition to get over in that new city to get acquainted with everybody. Am I right or wrong?
Yeah, it is. It's a 3-day deal, but at the same time, you don't want to put 3 days in. You want to get over there and start getting with that team right away. Because if you show up 3 days later, that team's going to say, "Well, where have you been the last couple of days? You know, you got winter over here, and you're not showing up on time." So then that puts a bad taste in. So now you're left with your family somewhere else. And there's a couple of services out there, you know, that kind of help with all that these days, as far as, you know, I mean, obviously it costs a lot of money to get it done, but they'll you know, help you out as a family to make the transition a lot better. But back in the day, it didn't happen like that. You know, the wife and the kids, it was like, okay, we're here in Cincinnati. We get traded to Atlanta or wherever we're going. And what do we do now? So husband and players in the other city, and here's wife and kids, you know, just looking around saying, okay, so do we get a moving service and pack up and go, or is this trade going to be for how many, is it going to be for just the end of the season? Is it going to be for next year? Is it going to be a long-term deal? It seems like when everybody buys a house, the next thing you know, they get traded. So that was always a thing. It was a joke in baseball. Don't buy a house wherever you go, because you're not going to be there long anyway. And, you know, a major league career, big league career, it doesn't last that long. Baseball career, it just doesn't, when you really look back at things. So, you know, it's better off just to have your home wherever you are in the off season and get a rental or a nice house, whatever you can afford at the time, and just do it that way. That way people can move around as they, you know, free will and have to.
Well, as we wind this thing down, also next week we'll talk about cities that a lot of players might not want to go to. I know Gilbert Arenas told me, he said in the NBA, you don't want to go to Milwaukee, Memphis, or Minnesota. They were the three M's. I'll give you my take. If I was drafted, would I think twice about going there? There's just some cities I wouldn't mind going to, and there's cities I love, and then there's cities I kind of go, it's going to take a little used to. But that'll be next week, along with the sellers and buyers. Kip, let everybody know how they can get a hold of you. Boy, we accomplished a lot, my brother, on this show tonight.
Yeah, well, it's kipgross.com. That's where you can actually get it, your pre-order in for my book that I wrote and still writing. It should be done here very shortly. Figure it out, the name of it. But kipgross.com. And, yeah, let's talk about anything and everything on this show, because it can be a good one. no question.
Oh, yeah. Nobody, like I said before, nobody talks about it, and more people hear it, and we'll get some of these guys that you knew, get some of the guys that I know also. We'll get them through the show so the listeners can get acclimated to them. I just love doing this each and every week. We're back next Tuesday. That's the All-Star game as well up in Seattle, but we'll be on at 4 o'clock Pacific time, 7 o'clock Eastern. Till then, catch the archive version on blogtalkradio.com/ Mancini Sports Podcast platforms, wherever you subscribe to podcasts, powered now by Mancini Media. For Kip Gross out there in hot Arizona, boy, it's boiling out here in L.A. too. Yours truly, Mark Mancini, saying thanks for tuning in. Have a blessed one. We'll touch bases with you next week on Tuesday. Thank
Until
you very
week.
Much, Kip.
Thank you, Mark. We'll see you all next week.